Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Imagine with me that you're in a crowded place, like an airport, a stadium, or something like that, a busy street. And people, they're everywhere. There's voices that are overlapping. There's just crowds of people talking. There's noise filling the air. And suddenly, above all the chaos, you hear your name. And not just any name, your name. And instantly in that moment, everything changes because your attention locks in. That is, your heart responds, because your name isn't just a label. It carries identity. Amen? It carries relationship. It carries meaning. And the way that your mom says your name isn't the same way as a stranger does. The way a close friend says it carries history, it carries trust, it carries connection. Now imagine with me that someone knows your name but knows nothing about you. That is, they can say it, but they don't understand your story. They can mention it, but they don't know the struggles that you've been through or the character that you possess. And that tension that I'm speaking about is what I want us to bring into this message this morning, that there are many people who know the name Jesus. That is, they can say it, they recognize it, and they may even use it casually or even mockingly. But the question that Jesus asked, I believe, still echoes today. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Because Jesus is more than a name. Amen? Jesus is so much more than a name. He is not just a name that we mention or a name that we say, but rather a revelation of who he is. Amen? And today, we're moving beyond just saying that name into knowing his name. Amen? Into understanding who he truly is. And so I want to speak to you this morning about the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen? How many of you know that that is the most powerful name? Yeah, come on, give him glory. That is the most powerful name, the mighty name of Jesus. And so if you'd bow your heads with me as we pray. Father, we thank you, we glorify you. Lord, we're speaking about you. You are the guest of honor. I pray in these next moments, God, that you would reveal your heart, reveal yourself more and more to your children. And so, Father, we pray for all distractions to be removed, Father God. And we pray, Father, that the clarity of the message would go forth, God, and pierce every heart, Father, for your glory and your honor, in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, his name, church, is not just a name that we say. It's not just a name that we should mention, but it's a revelation of who he is. Amen. One day, Jesus, he was giving warning to his disciples. He was speaking to these young men that he had chosen. He had, you know, predestined. He had ordained to follow him. And he asked them a personal but yet an important question. And we find this in Matthew 16 and 6. He says, be careful. Now, how many of you know that, you know, for those of us that are parents, we tell our children all the time, be careful, right? I'm like the semi-overly cautious dad. You know, my girls would be climbing up in the swing set in the backyard, and I was like, oh, be careful, please, you know. I didn't want any accidents, didn't want any one of my children to get hurt. Jesus, he says, be careful, and he says, and be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the disciples, if you read along further, they asked one another, they're like, is he talking about bread? How many of you know that the disciples weren't the smartest of guys all the time? Amen? Sometimes there was things that Jesus would say that would just right over their heads. So they're asking and they're pondering and they're going, is he upset because we didn't bring any bread? And then in verse 11, he says this, how is it that you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? He's like, guys, let's focus for a second. I'm not speaking about bread, because he mentioned the word yeast. He says, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Verse 12 says, then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against yeast used in bread. It says here, he says, be on your guard against the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And you might be asking, well, Pastor Duke, well, what were they guarding against? What did that look like? In Luke 12 and 1, the Bible says this, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another. Okay, so there's a lot of people. Anybody ever been in a crowd like that? You go to like a big football game or something like that, and there's just people everywhere, just tons of people. It says there were so many that thousands gathered. It was so much so that they were trampling on one another. And Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Jesus was saying, be on your guard against hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, or being known as a hypocrite, is something that gets cast towards people in the church a lot of times. Amen? It gets cast toward pastors and leaders. It gets cast towards people that say they believe in Jesus, but they live a life that doesn't look like Jesus. Amen? Jesus is speaking to them and he's saying, hey, listen, guys, you need to guard yourself against that form, against that yeast, against that poison that could come into your life so easily to where all of a sudden you find yourself hearing about Jesus but not living like him, talking about Jesus but looking nothing like him, saying his name and going to the church and doing all of the religious activities, yet living not like him. He's saying, guys, we need to understand very clearly to be on our guard against this. Be on our guard against this hypocrisy. He's telling them, watch out, because you're going to hear people. And this was towards the Pharisees. He said, watch out, guys, because you're going to hear people say things about me. They're going to say false things about me. You're going to hear people accuse me. You're going to hear people say that they know me. You're going to hear people that or claim that they are taught by me. You will see people use my name for their gain, and one day you will see me put to death. And Jesus was making sure, church, that their opinion of him wasn't shaped by what the Pharisees were saying. In this time and in this season that we live in, church, I'm so convinced and so believed that it's important that we understand that in this season, church, there's false teachers that are amongst us. Amen? In this world that we are living in, there's a lot of people talking about Jesus a certain way and saying Jesus would have done this or Jesus would have approved of that and all this type of stuff. But yet what? As Jesus described, they're like wolves in sheep's clothing. It's hypocrisy. Jesus did not want his children, his disciples, to have an opinion of him that was formed through the pharisaical hypocrisy. It wasn't by what the crowds were whispering to each other, but it was supposed to be based on who Jesus had revealed himself to be. It should be noted, church, that the same false confessions about Jesus exist in every generation. Amen? The same false confessions about Jesus exist in every generation. They existed then at that time. And there's people that think that Jesus was only a great man. Amen? There's people that think that Jesus was only a good man who was martyred for his faith. There's a lot of people that think that Jesus was just a good teacher, a good prophet of history. There's people that think that Jesus was good and he had revealed some important things to us about God and religion. DJ, I think that's your keyboard thing. Can you shut that off, please? We don't need to be getting text messages. There's other people that think that Jesus was a great man and he was a prophet, and we see that there was a very, very false teaching and learning that was going on about his life. So Jesus, he continues this conversation with the disciples, and he asked them this in Matthew 16 and 13. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Now, Jesus didn't ask them this, church, because he was concerned about his popularity or his ego, but he was testing them to see what they believed for themselves. Amen? How many of you know, church, that there's a big problem with people's ears? There's a big problem with people's ears. Because the moment you hear something that's a little bit juicy, it's a little bit controversial, it's a little bit spicy, you say, man, what is that? The ear of our flesh is inclined to hear certain things. It's inclined to hear juicy gossip about somebody. And so the world, church, we have to understand, only has a few sources of finding out about Jesus. I believe that the world finds out about Jesus about what people are saying. Amen? Amen. And you could be talking wrong the whole time, but guess what? That's how the world is going to find out who Jesus is. The world will find out about Jesus by what the church is revealing. Amen? By the way we live, by the way we walk, by the way that we love others. The world is going to find out about Jesus by what history has recorded. The world will find out about Jesus by what the Bible declares. And guess what? If what people are saying is false, then the world will have a false description of Jesus. They will have a false picture of who the Lord is. If the church is not loving one another, their neighbors, and revealing compassionate, unconditional love towards mankind, then they will question your Jesus. If the church is not preaching the truth in love, they will question your Jesus. If men keep trying to keep history buried and deny the existence of Jesus, the world might never know who Jesus was. I love watching those history, you know, things and documentaries and the historical evidence that Jesus was real. Amen. How about you? I love seeing that stuff. And it's awesome. But guess what? That's not in your science book at school. That's not in your history books in school. And we see that there's an effort by men that are trying to bury Jesus and keep Jesus underneath, keep Jesus somehow hidden in this world. Even if mankind, church, keeps trying to deny the existence of Jesus, using the Bible as a source of historical evidence or undeniable truth, or prophetic accuracy, then guess what? The world will have a limited understanding of who Jesus is. But can I share with you something this morning, church? Jesus isn't just a name. I said, Jesus isn't some historical figure only. He isn't just a son of Mary and Joseph. He isn't just a religious man. He isn't just a prophet. He isn't just a teacher. He is more than a name, church. He is the most matchless name. The Bible says, church, that he is the Son of God, the one who the demons must obey. Matthew 16 and 16 says this, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Amen? He is, church, the Son of Man. Luke 19 and 10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Amen? He is Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew 1 and 23 says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. He is the Word. Come on, somebody give him praise. John 1 and 1 says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? The Word was God," amen? He is the Alpha and the Omega, church, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Revelation 22 and 13, he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Jesus, church, is I am. Everybody say, I am. John 8 and 58, he says, "Very truly, I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am," amen? He existed. Jesus is the Lamb of God. John 1 and 29 says, "The next day that John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world,'" amen? Jesus is our Redeemer, church. Job 19 and 25, Job declared, "I know that my Redeemer lives," amen? He says, "And in the end, he will stand on the earth." Jesus is our Savior. Oh, come on, church. I'm not done. Jesus is our Savior. Luke 2 and 11 says, Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. Jesus is our mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God. Everybody say one God. One God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Revelation 19:16. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. John 4:25. The woman said, I know the Messiah called Christ is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Jesus, church, is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. Revelation 5:5 says, then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See the Lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He is triumphant. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Jesus, church, is the ruler of God's creation. Revelation 3:14, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. Jesus is the good shepherd. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus is the bread of life, church. He said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus is the light of the world, church. John 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the true vine, church. John 15:1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Jesus is a friend. Oh, man. Jesus is a friend. Proverbs 18:24 says, the one who has unreliable friends will soon come to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Jesus, church, is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus spoke to her. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life, and the one who believes in me will live even though they die. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, the wonderful counselor, the everlasting Father, the mighty God. It says, for to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. He is the pioneer, church, and the perfecter of our faith. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the first and the last. Revelation 1:17. He says, I fell at his feet as though dead. And then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. He is the Holy One of God. Amen. Mark 1:24 says, what do you want with us? You see, this is demon speaking. These were demons speaking. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? And he said, I know who you are. The demon said, I know who you are, Jesus, the Holy One of God. He is faithful and true, church. Revelation 19:11 says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. And with justice, he judges and wages war. He is the image, church, of the invisible God. Colossians 1:15, the Son is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn over all creation. Whew. I'm not sure if I left anything out. I'm sure there's many, many more beautiful ways to describe who Jesus is. But Jesus is so much more than a name. You see, if you have a relationship with him, he is life. If he has saved your soul, if he has redeemed you with his blood, he is life. He's authority. See, no matter what you go through in life, no matter what you could be facing, he is the authority over everything, church. And all you have to do is call upon his name. He is the one who brings every storm to a still. He is the one who, in our fear, in our shortcomings, we can call upon him and he pours out a grace over our life that we never deserved. He's so many things. He's a healer, church. I don't know about you, but I thank God for his healing. Amen. See, I think sometimes we think that we, you know, have to have some kind of disease to be healed. Well, I can tell you that we all had a disease called sin. We all fell short of God's glory. Amen. But he's the one who heals us of those things. He's God. Amen. He's God. Said he is God. When Jesus asked his disciples, he asked these men who had given up everything to follow him. These young men who, the Bible says, at once they left their nets to follow him. They were men who were learning for him. They were men who, you know, were witnessing God's authority in his life. He sits down with them, and Jesus takes this conversation with them a step further in Matthew 16 and 15. He says, but what about you? First he asked, who do men say that I am? So what are the outside saying? What have you heard, young disciples? What is the talk of the town? But then he brings it a step closer, and he says, but what about you? You've walked with me. You've lived with me. You've been going on this journey with me. You've seen God. What about you? Who do you say I am? Now, that passage that we just read, church, I believe is one of the most powerful and demanding questions that's ever been asked. Who do you say that Jesus is? Because I believe, church, that the answer that every one of us must give, or that the answer that we would give, will determine our eternal destiny. You see, you can't just be on one side of interpretation of Jesus and think that he's not one day going to ask you that very same question. You can't think for a moment to say, well, you know what, but I'm not a very religious person, and you know what, I'm not really, but guess what? There's going to come a day, my friend. There will come a day. And the Bible says, whether here or now or later, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. But we ask ourselves that question, but what about us? What about you? How has the Father revealed Jesus to you? You see, do you know Jesus based on what your pastor alone tells you? Do you know Jesus based on what your Sunday school teachers alone teach you? Has your opinion of Jesus been formed because of books you've read or a movie that you saw? Because you can hear the name, amen, and not know his power. I said you can hear his name and not know his power. You can witness his miracles and not have a relationship with him, amen. You can hear the word of God and not know the author. You can hear all these things. It could be present. DJ said something on Wednesday as he was ministering, but he basically said something to this effect. He's like, you could be in the presence of God and not even know that Jesus is there. See, right now, we're in the presence of God. I guarantee it. Some of you are like, where? It's okay. The Lord's going to reach you. That was me when I first walked into the church as a 15-year-old kid. I said, man, what is all the noise about? And back then, you know, they were singing, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. And people were just jumping and, you know, clapping and all this stuff. And I'm sitting there going like, is he here? What pew is he in? What does he look like? I'm looking up like, I don't see him up there. I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. I hadn't yet surrendered my life to Jesus. I didn't know what it was like to have the Savior of the world inhabiting my heart. I didn't understand the celebration. I didn't understand the praise. I didn't understand the worship. I didn't understand who they were praying to. I didn't understand who they were speaking about. I didn't understand. I was that guy. I heard the name, but I didn't know the power. I heard about him. I even witnessed things and I saw things, but I didn't have a relationship with him. One of the greatest things that I had witnessed was in 1997 in November, my stepbrother was going on a hunting trip, and I had just moved to Texas in June. He was going on a hunting trip with my uncle, and he's in this vehicle, and they're going up this icy road. This is in Idaho, where I was born and raised, and they're going up this icy road at night, and all of a sudden the truck slides off of this highway and it hits black ice and it begins to rotate and it begins to roll. He didn't have his seatbelt on. My stepbrother was ejected, and he flew approximately 30 yards, churches, from where I'm standing to the back of the building, 90 feet. And he landed on an icy highway on his head. Cracked his skull from the top of his head to the back of his jaw. All I heard was an answering machine that we had those things back in the day. Answering machine with my stepdad's voice quivering, saying, "I don't think your brother's going to make it." I came to this church on a Wednesday night. My youth pastor at the time asked a very simple question. He said, "Does anyone need prayer?" I didn't know who they were praying to. I really didn't know what prayer was. But I said, "For what it's worth, can you mention him?" They prayed on that Wednesday night. 3 weeks later, I go to Idaho for Christmas vacation. And I go up there and I walk in the hospital room after my dad picked me up from the airport. My stepbrother was in a coma for 3.5 weeks. He was about 180, 190 pound kid at the time, and he had shrunk 40 pounds by the time I got to Idaho 3 weeks after the accident. As soon as I walk into that room, he starts to get awake again. Comes out of the coma. And I'm looking at this guy, and he has no idea who I am. The doctor said, if anything, he's, you know, he may be like complete memory loss. We doubt he'll live. But 3 weeks had gone by, and he was still alive. Walk into that hospital room, and he just gives me a blank stare, and this is my stepbrother. I mean, we live together. I'm like, "Nathan, Nate, how are you doing?" And he's looking at me with just glass. He doesn't recognize me. But over the next 3 weeks, while I was there, I watched him make a complete recovery. Yes, give God praise. And what I saw, church, wasn't a fluke. It wasn't just happenstance. It wasn't just luck. All I remember doing was when I left that place, I said, "Surely there is a God. Surely there must be a God." But I witnessed the miracle, but I didn't know who the miracle worker was. In the book of Mark, we see Jesus was traveling with his disciples to his hometown of Nazareth. And in Mark chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and there was many people who had heard him, and they were amazed. 'Where did this man get these things?' they asked. 'What's this wisdom that's been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles that he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?'" It says, "And they took offense at him, and Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home.' And verse 5 says, and he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. You see, church, your confession and belief of Jesus reveals the faith that you have in him. Your confession and your belief in Jesus reveals the true faith that you have in him. These people in that moment, church, you know what happened? They began to minimize who Jesus was. The King of Glory was standing right in front of them, but they began to minimize who he was. They began to just lower him back to human standards. They witnessed the miracles. They heard the wisdom. They heard the amazing teaching. And all of a sudden, instead of seeing the Son of Man, they only saw the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. Instead of acknowledging him as the Son of God, they only saw the son of Joseph and Mary. And instead of marveling even in the miracles, they only saw a woodworker. Where it says that they took offense to him, that word that was used in the Greek, it comes from this word called scandalizo, which means this, a stumbling block that causes someone to sin or to distrust one another. He was literally fulfilling the very words written in the book of John 1 and 10 when it says this, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. And he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Church, what a terrible, terrible tragedy that would be. That Jesus would be in your midst. That Jesus would be working in your life. That you would be a witness of such miracles. You would be a witness of the power of God, of the Spirit of God. You would hear the words of wisdom from his holy word. And yet, never know him, never encounter him. People who've listened to his word, who've seen his hand provide, and seen his blood still heal, but not receive him. When Peter was asked that question, who do you say that I am? His answer wasn't just the correct one, but it was the confession of his heart, church. See, Peter didn't just say the right name in the moment. It was a true confession of his heart. Matthew 16 and 16, he says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, he says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. You see, there was plenty of people who knew the name Jesus. They heard him teach, they saw the miracles, and they even spoke his name. But only Peter heard the Father. And only Peter declared that you are the Christ. And Jesus said, that didn't come from people, that came from God. My question to you this morning is this. Do you know Jesus? Who do you say that he is? Who do you believe that he is? You see, I believe that Jesus longs for each and every one of us, church, to have a greater relationship with him. You might be saying, well, Pastor Duke, I know him. I've got saved. I've received Jesus, praise God, amen. Praise God. But I believe that there's levels to this, amen. I heard somebody say it this way one time. They said, if you're not getting to know Jesus more today, then you're backsliding. Because every day is an opportunity to get to know Jesus better. But I pray that if maybe there's someone in this room and you've heard the name, you've witnessed the miracles. You've been around the working of God. But you've yet to receive him. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? And so here's the question that I want to ask as we close. Are you just familiar with his name? Or have you had a revelation of who he is? Because names can be repeated without relationship. Amen? Names can be spoken without understanding. But when heaven reveals Jesus to you, everything will change. You'll stop following opinions. You'll stop echoing culture. You'll stop relying on what others say. And like Peter, you stand on something deeper, something eternal. And I believe that today God is still revealing his son, amen? Not just to the crowds, church, but to individuals. The Lord is still revealing his heart to individuals, not just to minds, but he is revealing himself to hearts. And when he speaks and when he reveals Jesus to you, you won't just say his name, you'll know him.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.